For those of you who were not here last week, I'm going to pass around a sign-in sheet where I'd like you to write your name, your phone number, and your email address legibly. You won't get your email if your email address is not legible. I emphasize that because I've got a lot of experience with drafting emails.
We'll do a couple of minutes of recap
of last week for those of you who were not here to tell you what we're doing here, and then we'll do introductions. Everybody gets to say who you are and where you're from. And last week Judy Pope volunteered to facilitate for us, and she did a marvelous job, and I'm going to ask Judy to continue doing that as long as you're here and available. It's a big help. I don't think facilitating meetings is actually one of my natural skills anyway. So it's good to...
Yes, it is.
All right, make me feel better.
But you need to give information.
Right. I'm Carol Spooner. I'm a member of the Interim Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors, and I'm also a member of the local KPFA station board or advisory board, LAB, as it's referred to on a lot of charts. As part of our legal settlement, we are required to revise Pacifica's bylaws this year and to hold elections for local boards at all five stations within 1 year after the first meeting of the interim board, which is December 29th. And 3 months after that, by the end of March 2003, we are supposed to elect a new board of directors under new bylaws. So my job here is to put myself out of the job. I'm really looking forward to it, I'll tell you.
Oh, radio.
Retirement. Don't hold your breath.
No, it never happens.
There's an election process that will be there, you know.
Right. So, in order to do this, we've set up a national committee that has five subdivisions in each of the five station areas with a national board member for each of the local areas chairing a subcommittee. I'm actually the national coordinator, so we're going to attempt after meeting or while meeting in all five station areas to intercommunicate and connect and share ideas and synthesize and boil things down to a model for restructuring the governance of the Pacifica Foundation that will be acceptable to at least three of the five local boards as to the number and manner of election of local boards and the board of directors. And at least two-thirds of the interim national board as to everything in the bylaws. That's a monumental task, and we're actually on a very fast track because in order to hold local board elections based on our KPFA experience, it takes about 3 months. It takes them 30 days to mail out the ballots and give people time to get them back and count them. That's 1 month. It takes about 30 days for people who are candidates to stump for election, go on the air, go around and meet the various listeners groups and campaign. So that's another, that makes 2 months. And it takes really at least 30 days to recruit the candidate. Although people can start recruiting candidates now, you know, go around and say, hey, you ought to run, but it takes time. You have to open up the nominations and give people notice and allow them people who are interested in running to come forward and find out how to run. So it's really a 3-month process to hold an election. So if we're going to get the election of the local boards done by the end of December, we need the bylaws approved by the end of August. And this is the 1st of April, May, June, July, August, September, August. 4 months, yes.
A quick suggestion, if things start, run a little bit late for any reason, perhaps you could start recruiting the candidates before the process is finalized.
Yeah. I mean, the word should go out, but still, in order to give adequate notice to everyone who might eventually be eligible to run, it will take some time. And we don't know yet who's going to be eligible to run because we haven't read written the bylaws. The KPFA lab 2 years ago voted to become an elected lab, and we've held 2 lab elections for KPFA. Under our legal settlement, the model that we're using for KPFA is the starting place for lab elections, but those rules can be modified. We may end up with something that's different, but that's the starting place. And our KPFA model is as follows. There are 22 seats on our local board. 8 are elected by staff members, and 12 are elected by subscribers or volunteers. Volunteers who are not staff members, people who would come in, say, during fund drives to answer phones or other things like that. So we also have a rotating... We have a 2-year term, and half the board is elected every year. We also have diversity criteria. We require on our lab that out of listener elected seats, which are 14, a minimum of 6 and a maximum of 8 can be men or women. And a minimum of 6 and a maximum of 8 can be white or non-white. Our goal here is to have a balance as to gender and ethnicity. That's our model. The other... it's open for discussion and could change. The question has been raised whether or not all 5 stations will have to have the same model for electing their labs or station boards. And the answer to that question is not quite clear yet, but I suspect that they will. We will also be writing bylaws that will provide for the election of the national board. Right now, it purports to be self-selecting. They purported to change the bylaws to make themselves self-selecting. There were lawsuits filed challenging those bylaws amendments. The case was never litigated. It was settled. In the event that we fail in our duty and obligation to revise the bylaws within the specified time period, the Attorney General of the State of California or any of the litigants in the lab lawsuit or the listener's lawsuit can go back to court and litigate that issue. The Attorney General is very concerned about our bylaws. He was there at the settlement discussion. There are various issues in Pacifica's bylaws that do not meet the statutory requirements of the state of California.
Just for a second. His representative was there. He wasn't there.
Excuse me. Representative Taylor Carey, Special Assistant Attorney General, not Bill Lockyer, was there. Thank you. But anyway, the Attorney General's office is concerned. The Pacifica Foundation must have bylaws that meet the statutory requirements of the state. Right now, none of the previous bylaws, either those alleged to be legal by the labs or those alleged to be legal by the national board, previous national board, or legal. They have some glaring omissions. One is they don't define the number of directors of the foundation, which you're required to do under the law. The lab, one set of bylaws refers to the station boards but doesn't define them or how they are selected. There are other problems with definitions of terms of officers and so forth in the bylaws, so we have to come up with bylaws. And if we don't, the Attorney General will make us do it, and we may actually end up with bylaws imposed on us. So it's an important task that we work together to reach some common agreements here and around the country. I think it's an exciting thing. I'd like to think of this as a time to have a real open mind, because Pacifica's bylaws have not been seriously analyzed since 1984. There was a bylaws writing process that began about 1978 and went on for 6 years through 1984, when they created the former system of each local board sending two national boards to the two directors to the national board and the potentiality for at-large directors. I think there are lots of models out there that people around the country have been brainstorming on. Some of them are very detailed and well thought out. Some of them are sketchy, but in principle, pretty well defined. And I'm hoping tonight we can discuss some of those models that people have come up with who are here and ready to present. There's one major model that has a lot of adherence in Southern California called the constituency model. Is there anyone here that is capable of presenting that model? Okay, well, we'll have to get somebody to present it to us, because it's something that will need to be discussed. I'll study it and present it.
Hey, you guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
No.
Hello.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Wow. This is a strange place.
Hi. is there anything else I want to say?
Is that the one that we sent the email around?
Roger Dittman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of them, and there's another one.
There's another constituent.
Yeah, there are a couple of them. Tonight there are a few people who have brought various models for us to look at and stimulate our thinking. And we'll spend some time tonight for anybody who wants to do that. But before we do that, why don't we go around and introduce ourselves, and I'll turn this meeting over to Judy.
Okay, I'm Judy Pope.
I'm Willie Thompson.
I'm Michael Lubin, known in the meeting's minutes as Michael R. for some reason.
Michael R.
This actually should be an L.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering why it came. Okay, thank you. I put Lubin. Thank you. John so far.
Gregory Wendell-Wheel.
Sarah Rambawa.
Nicole Milner.
Eileen Alfandari, and I'll just apologize. We'll need to be leaving in a little while.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Robin Reynolds.
Gary Evans.
Dorothy Hedman.
Mike Donaldson.
And Jim Curtis.
Ted Friedman.
Mary Berg.
Kane Jackson.
Matthew Lazar. Conrad Oho.
Hilly Gilden.
Max Nesha.
Okay. I'm going to use the flip chart paper, so Matt.
Oh, sure. I'll move. Yes, of course. Okay.
Oh, I guess I should have announced, if you didn't get the notes from the last meeting, email me and I'll send them to you. And Gary also, Evans, posted photographs of all of our notes I'll send that to you if you didn't get it already.
I'm not sure if it's coming from the on air because.
Well, we may need some more chairs.
Piano bench.
Oh, yeah.
Piano bench? Yeah. Somebody can use my chair, probably. Where we can find chairs. Here's a chair. Right there. Here's a chair.
Ball, straight. Yeah, there's a lot of people. I didn't get all the
oh, I talked about. I sent out a.
Yeah.
Does anybody have the email I sent out announcing this?
Wait a second, Jim. Can you
which one?
Yes.
The one with the 10 elements that we identified last week.
I've got the minutes.
I'm here, so.
Moving over by the table. People can move back from that. What is your name, please?
Robin.
Oh, you're Robin. That's right. Of course you are. Yeah. Well, maybe why don't we all move back and then you can be in the circle and then we can make room for that panel bench to go in. We can all move over.
There's one more seat. There's a seat over here.
There's a seat here. Okay, are we more or less settled?
Oh, well, now, I don't know. We don't need to take more people.
Well, maybe more people will come.
More people march.
Can I come for the march or whatever? Okay, welcome back, everybody. My usual experience with bylaw committees is that when once people realize what bylaws are really about, the numbers drop precipitously. But I don't know. KPFA people are very devoted to what they've done. When I ask you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands to talk, because it gets pretty exciting, and in spite of the fact it's bylaws. And say your name, because I gradually will get to know your name. Last time we... let me also ask, how long is this meeting going to run?
Till 9.
We
could go over to 9:30, but we should try to...
By 9:30, I'm pretty much not.
Yeah, we didn't start that.
Okay, so we have 2 hours. Okay. So just in preparation for moving ahead with this, how many people have models to discuss? From 1, 2... Great.
Four.
Okay, well, that's really
about
great.
Segments, not necessarily a whole model.
Okay, well, let's do the whole models, and then if there's segments that are not, you know, in there, we'll do that. Okay, so if we have 2 hours and we have basically 4.5 or 5, then we have almost a half an hour or, say, 25 minutes for each of them. That's good. Will somebody help me pay attention to the timing, even though I'm looking at the clock? I might lose it. Also, I wanted to sort of pick up because I left last time at 9, I think, and you guys kept going. So was there a piece of unfinished business from last time that you'd like to pick up before we leap into these models? Anything? Okay. You just would like to go ahead. Okay. Well, from the discussion last time, it seemed to me pretty clear that it didn't make sense to discuss the board of directors separate from the lab, separate from the, you know, whatever, because it's all part of a piece. And people were talking about it in that framework. So it seemed to me it would make sense to discuss these models. We'll raise a lot of issues that way. And it's much more holistic and organic, and I think it makes some sense. So I think this will be great. I can turn this over to other people for large portions of the time. Who'd like to go first? Do you have a model to present? Max? Okay. Do you have any written material, or do you want to use this?
I just want to use this. I'll move.
You produced... Oh, I thought it was...
I produced this. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's great.
Thank you.
Now, come on, guys. Don't get too tripped out by the halo effect. let's wait till we see the content.
Yeah.
But the form is...
Are they identical?
No, they are. But it occurred to me, as it occurred to everybody, that it's not so much that we need to discuss the national board or the station or lab or whatever. It's really how they're linked together. And with this in mind, I came up with a picture, a pictorial way of presenting the information and showing the linkages. And to me, there are really four basic blocks. One of them is the membership. However you define it, I didn't go into that. The membership, in our case, we're talking subscribers, volunteers, and staff, right? And then the other block or rectangle, a smaller one, the lab, the membership has the biggest rectangle. That's where the power is. And then you have the lab, and then you have the station proper, and then the national board. Okay, and the trick is in how these things are linked together, it seems to me. In this particular model, if you look at it carefully, the arrows are all leading from the membership. That's what I call the DDM model. That is the direct democracy model.
Ah.
And by that I mean that, as an example, the membership, first of all, has the power to elect and recall the board members, the national board members. And that's this arrow here, okay? In addition, the membership has the power to make changes in bylaws. Okay? And the membership provides money, which in this case it goes to the station. Okay? Because the station has the accounting, the administration to handle the money. And part of the money comes back to the lab. We've agreed to that. That I think that's going to be a reality, for instance, to fund elections. And the money goes to the national board. And then the station and the national board sort of negotiate national programming. That's why I have arrows going in both directions. And the station and the national board negotiates the budget of the national board and its staff. Another major function of the membership has to do with the acquisition and disposition of major assets. I don't say what these major assets are, and this is something we would sort out in the details. But in addition to these four major functions, that is, membership elects, membership makes changes to the bylaws, the membership provides the funding, the membership elects or recalls the lab, the local advisory board. And the local advisory board really manages the station in the sense that it reviews and approves the budget, it provides a programmatic input, it hires, fires, and supervises the manager of the station. That's the essence of this model. Power flows from the bottom. Okay. I didn't try to address how we would relate to the other stations. To me, this is a big issue. Deep down in my heart, I believe that at some point I think the relationship should be an equal one. I mean, each station should have the same duties and responsibilities. Otherwise, I think it's a formula for a great deal of difficulty. But that's my gut feeling. Okay. Then I have two other models. This one is what I call the MOM model. That's the middle of the road model. Middle of the road model, you have the membership here, it elects and recalls the lab, it provides money to the station, but the lab then elects the national board, the lab makes changes to the bylaws, the lab approves the acquisition or disposition of major assets. The lab becomes really the focus. But again, it all flows from below. Everything else is the same as before.
What is the difference, please, between the two?
The lab becomes the focus. In other words, the membership has the ultimate power, but power flows through the lab.
And the lab elects the national
board. The lab elects the national board. The lab makes changes to the bylaws in partnership with other labs, right?
then the labs approve the acquisition and disposition of major assets. And the lab manages the station, and the station negotiates with the National Board for a number of things. And the last one I have is is what I call the centralized model, the one that nearly did us in. And notice that in the previous models,
right,
power flows from below. Okay? Likewise. But again, in the second model, power flows through the lab. Here, the membership elects the lab. The lab elects the national board. The membership provides the funding, but then power flows from the national board. And
which
the lab...
Which, will you read the...
Yes, it says the national board provides funding, it defines programming, hire fires and supervise the manager, and reviews and approves budget. And there's some funding from the station to the lab itself. This is a little feature that's incorporated in all of this. But again, nominally, the membership has control, but in fact, everything flows down.
Yeah.
Okay, that's roughly what we have.
Yeah.
With
by the end of the time.
Yes. So, again, this is a way of presenting the information. I have left out completely how we relate to the other labs. I think it's a very, or the other stations. I think, in my opinion, it's a very big issue. And I haven't tried to define what I mean by elect. You know, I think the key is that here we elect, but how we elect is a matter to be resolved, right? But we do have a model at KPFA already. So this sums up what I have to say. If you have questions, I'll be glad to answer. Yes.
I think we ought to separate these out again so we can see the three different models.
Okay.
Can we put them on the
board
behind
you? You want to put them? Oh, we can put them here and then we'll remove them. Okay. Again, this is the centralized model. This is the.
We are more the centralized model.
I thought I would have it for purpose of illustration. This is the MOM model, the middle of the road model, and this is the this is what I call the direct democracy model, with the membership driving everything.
Yeah. I have a question.
Sure.
Could you say your name?
Willie Thompson. I'd just like to know how long it would take you to just briefly critique each of these models for our type of operation.
Well, if I had my druthers, I'm telling you what. I would reject this because we have had problems with it. Mm-hmm. Because it's too top down.
Yeah.
Okay? That would be my major objection to it. It has a certain beauty to it because it's streamlined, as you can see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
And
let's let him finish.
Yeah. And also, in the back of my mind, I have a real question as to the need for a national network. I know the sentiments around here. We've been burned very badly by centralized models. But on the other hand, I do believe that we have to have a national network if we are to reach out and compete with corporate media and really tell our stories nationally, which means that you have to have a national staff, which means that you have to have a national budget, which means that you have to have national programs, and how best to do that. So this I reject, but it has its merits. Here, if I had my druthers, that's probably what I would tinker with. Okay? And this one here, I'm sorry, the middle one. This one here, I think it's very democratic, but then the problem is, how do you handle these major functions? You talk about recalling, how do you do that? And we know how to provide the funding, that works very well. But how do we change bylaws? Do we call elections? I'm not quite sure how we would it might be difficult to manage such a democratic model. That is why, I would prefer funneling things through the lab. That's my feeling.
Does the membership in that model elect the Pacific Board? I didn't get that. I have it wrong.
Which model is
in the DOM? In the DDM?
The DDM.
Who
yes. The membership elects
the national.
The national board.
I missed
yes.
that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. Yes. What's your name, please?
I'm Ted.
Ted.
And even your centralized model, it's still more democratic than what we actually had because the lab actually elects the national.
That's right.
And this is not what the way we...
Well, then maybe that's what we started with.
Yeah.
But it gradually eroded.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And that we had a big fight over that, basically. But you're quite right.
Yes.
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 Sydney. Okay.
Yes.
Does the membership in the middle of the road, does the membership have the power to recall the lab?
Yes. I have that here. It has that power. To me, that's tied to the idea of, I think, the term of the lab. If you have a person serving 1 year, I don't see the point in recalling that person. But if the lab is elected for 3 or 4 years as a way of cutting the frequency of election, maybe the option to recall should be there.
And the lab can recall the national board?
Yes. It elects and recalls the national board. Yeah. But having it that way, you know, you're dealing with 5 labs, you know, you're dealing maybe with 100 people. It's easier to handle, it seems to me, logistically.
Sure.
Yes, yes. You called.
I thought I would call and use the
sure,
answer.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'm sorry, your name?
Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle one, how, if there's a major difference between the station and the national board, how is that?
I don't address that at all. I'm assuming that under the best of conditions, this pattern would be, or this model would be repeated in each station.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, what? I meant that if there's a major argument with the national board between the station and them, how is that negotiated?
I don't know how to answer that question. I can imagine a lab initiating the process of recalling its members of the national board. And then if other labs are in agreement with it, they will do it likewise. If not, they won't. And then nothing happens. Okay? It depends on the numbers, it seems to me. But again, you're assuming they have equal rates, equal weights. But that doesn't have to be either.
I had a question. Maybe, again, this is one of those details, but I think an important one, and I'd like to hear what your thoughts were, which is, given the centrality of the lab, what kind of... is there like a minimum percentage of the listeners that would have to participate in an election for it to have legitimacy?
Well, we have a model here at KPFA. I think we're setting that at what, 10%. I think that could be adopted everywhere, but that should be discussed again. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm going around the circle. Yes, your name?
Kurt. First of all, I just have to say, I guess I never actually thought I'd walk into this room when this conversation was happening and it actually meant something and was going to be put into practice. And I just came in here and just saw Max and these things and had this sort of shock. That I
don't know if my opinion or what.
No, no,
this is reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is reality, Max. This isn't like our little conjectures in coffee shops.
Sure.
And then the other thing is, unfortunately, I left my glasses and I can't see. What is the difference between the middle model and the first model? Because the first model is a model that many of us have kicked around as a logical and simple, as you said, simple way to go
yes.
about it for a long time. So what is that second model? What is the difference between that and the first? I can't see.
This one is a centralized model.
Right.
Basically, although the membership, that is the lab, elects the national board.
Right.
Power really flows from the national board.
Right, and so how does this one in the middle?
This one, power really rests with the lab.
Okay, so it's a more decentralized.
It's a more decentralized.
So in that case, the labs are governing boards?
The lab really govern the station.
The station. Okay.
And the lab elects.
So in the first one, the lab is not a governing board. It's still an advisory board, but it appoints the national board. But in the second one, it becomes a governing board. There's a division of labor between national and local governing
board. That's right. And this model, the lab really governs the station.
Okay.
And in addition, the lab elects and recalls the board.
That's the one we've been talking about.
And then the lab changes the bylaws. And then the lab provides, gives its okay for the acquisition and disposition of major assets.
Well, I just wanted to say the logic of that one being superior from my point of view is that the people electing the people with power are that much closer to them and more likely to know them, more likely to have an encounter with them, and more likely to be able to see quickly if something is not being done right. There's nobody far away to deal with it in the same way.
Eileen, what was your question? I was just trying to capture some of the questions.
Oh, I just wanted to know what the minimum voting requirement would be for a lab election.
Okay. Yes, Gary?
Yes, thank you. In the have you given any consideration to the middle model being combined in some way with the right-hand model there, the more direct model, in that central model, the membership has no power, bless you, of recall. And I don't know what the legality is of having a membership having the power to elect a lab but recall the national board. They didn't elect the national board, so I don't know if they could legally... If under the law, they would have the power to recall national board members that they didn't technically elect. It was an indirect election. But I'm very uncomfortable with not having that level of power, not having that kind of recall authority.
So you'd have a recall going back here. That's what you're saying.
As a thought of combining the two.
Yeah. I don't decide. In other words, I have come up with these things. They're not cast in concrete. It's for the group to decide. And to be sure, some of these features can be added or removed or whatever. That makes perfect sense, yes.
Okay, I'm continuing around. Carol.
A couple things. For an election to be valid under the law, there are certain percentages that are required, and the more members you have, the lower the percentage goes. You can, in your bylaws, set a higher threshold that you can't go lower. So I think, I'm sorry, I would have to look it up, but I can answer the question as to what would be the minimum legal voting percentage to elect somebody. And it is considerably less than 10% under the law.
To recall, elect.
To elect. Legally, if you have the right to elect someone, automatically you have the right to remove them. That's a statutory right of members. If you have a right to elect someone, you have the right to remove them. And the answer to your question, Gary, is that you can add extra rights. You can say the membership at the subscriber level does have the right to recall the national board if you put it in your bylaws. There's some flexibility about adding extra rights. There's the minimal ones that have to be in there. But so it would be possible to tinker with those things. One thing that I don't know if we got it into our 10 major issues, but if we didn't get it into our 10 major issues, I wish we had. And this is it. The foundation, the Pacifica Foundation, has purposes. It has a mission spelled out in its articles of incorporation, and we're legally bound to fulfill them. We can't raise money and not fulfill them. That's the law. So the question is, keeps coming up, it comes up and bothers a lot of people. What happens if the membership doesn't like the mission anymore and would rather do something else, like country western music? Who has the authority to come back and correct station drift, let's say, over time, away from fulfilling specific purposes? And how can that be enforced? If all of the power resides from below, can it be enforced? If all that resides from above, can it be enforced? That's a real question. So I'm looking for some checks and balances, but I can tell you that it's the legal responsibility of the National Board of the directors of the foundation to ensure that Pacifica's fulfilling the purposes stated in the articles. And if they're not doing that, the Attorney General can sue them. It's already done it once. So some authority has to reside up there at the national level to override the membership, even.
Okay. Continuing around. Your name, please?
Jane. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear what you don't like about the CDM model. I can tell you the one thing that troubles me, all of them, is where programming decisions lie, since it's what we hear that causes us to want to be listeners and vendors.
Well, in the DDM model, it's a direct democracy model. The membership elects, has the right to elect, and of course we call lab members. And then if you look higher up, the lab manages the station in that it hires and fires and supervises the station manager. It provides programmatic input, which is in some sense what we are trying to do. I don't know how well that's going to work. And it reviews and approves the budget. And there is the national component of programming would have to be negotiated between the national board and the KPFE station. And of course, the membership elects and recalls the national board. And the membership, of course, provides funding to the station. So it elects, it controls the money. To some extent, it controls the administration. My problem with it has to do with the mechanics of doing all of these things, of having a separate election for the national board, or other than the lab election. Perhaps they can be combined. The process for approving changes to the bylaws. Again, you're talking about another election, and then the issue of approving the acquisition or disposition of major assets. Again, you're talking about an election involving the full membership. That's my problem with it, on a practical level. Okay, you could argue that these things are not going to happen frequently, and given the size of this network, all in all, you're not talking about a large amount of money. But it's much more work, it seems to me. That's why, for these practical reasons, I am of the opinion. Again, it's a personal opinion. The group, as a group, will have to sort that out. This perhaps offers the advantage of practicality.
Matthew?
Yeah.
Back in Morm, in the middle there, my eyes are not so good.
I have the same problem. I miscalculated last night.
In between KPFA station and lab, you've got your middle arrow with a bunch of middle words, and I think it's about programming, right?
Yeah, it says the lab provides program input. That's the first.
Okay, what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know. All I can tell you, I was thinking about it last night. We have an arrangement with the program council. Right. We have taken a step in that direction.
Can I comment on that?
Yes.
As being on both the program council and the lab. The way it's developing currently is to some degree the lab doing community needs assessment, having just formed a programming subcommittee, basically is listening to the community, soliciting ideas in that way, electing representatives to the program council, at this point just one, just me, but also electing two community reps who are not elected to the lab, and thereby applying at least being part of the mix of decision making, just a small portion at this point. But the lab will be making a very conscious effort to be getting a sense of what sort of service needs, programming needs are perhaps being unmet by constantly asking not only the current listeners but going beyond them and asking other communities how the station might serve. And then the lab through the PC conveys that. And we're developing other methodology to get direct input into the station that doesn't go through the lab.
Just one question about that. Follow-up question? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Sooner or later, as always happens in Pacifica history, there'll be a show on a Pacifica station, KPFA, WBAI, that will offend a bunch of people and all hell will break loose.
Mm-hmm.
It always has, and it always will. One of the questions which you have to address, I think, with that little arrow there, is what does the lab do then? What do we want the lab to do then? And some of us who are nervous about these things, what do we not want the lab to do then? And I just want to raise that as an important consideration at that point.
You might call that the level of programmer independence as opposed to listener oversight, something like that.
Okay. Let's keep going around here, Nancy.
My name is Julie. Julie, I have some of the same concerns that Carol brought up. And although I wasn't thinking about the mission itself, what's kind of missing in the visual representation to me is the relationship among stations to each other and to the national board and staff and to the mission, you could say. And so the way I might represent these is to draw each one of them as a circle with the national board and staff in the middle going out maybe to each of the stations down to the membership of each one with some connecting arrows with lines of responsibility and relationship between the equivalent groups in each station area to provide continuity and kind of a sense of support to develop towards the mission, but also to control station drift and also to anticipate new stations coming in and, you know, and like 30 new Christian Rite stations coming in and, you know, redirecting the mission if they could, and also to accommodate the possibility of including affiliate stations at some level of participation, you know, responsibility. So, you know, I would like to see it drawn.
Could you draw that for the next meeting?
Well, can I make a suggestion? I think some of the other models that will be presented tonight will address that.
But if they don't, or if you still want to, it would be good to see that visually. I know what you're, I can sort of see it.
The outset, if I may answer, I said very deliberately that I left out our relations with the other stations. I tried to keep it as focused as I could, recognizing that that was a huge part of the problem. I understand that very well. There is one thing, though, about others coming in, because I have something here about the acquisition or disposition of major assets.
Uh-huh.
So we have a way of dealing with that, at least in two of these models. Again, these models, these are things that I came up with last night, thinking about the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of perhaps bracketing the issues. I'm not even sure I'm doing that. Obviously, I left out the relations with the other stations. But that's all I could come up with. So. That's a good point.
We're running out of time for this one item. Unless, let me just ask, has Max captured any of the other models that we were going to discuss, actually? I'm asking the authors.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Well, then we'll give you... We won't make that assumption. Okay. All right. I want to give it... Maybe I'll give it 5 more minutes because he's, like, given us 3 in 1, and I would like to ask people who haven't spoken yet if they'd like to get their questions in, and then we really should move on. Michael.
Yeah. I want to suggest a sort of streamlined version of the democratic one, where basically you have the members electing the lab and the national board at the same time in a unified election, and then when the bylaws are changed, that does not involve the membership unless maybe for a few very major changes. In terms of perhaps the labs, perhaps 3 to 5 labs would have to approve some or all bylaw changes. And again, with the disposition of assets, perhaps for very, very major decisions, perhaps there would have to be a referendum, but it would be designed so that that would rarely happen. So you just have an election once a year or something, and it could be fairly efficient.
You can set it up, say, $5 million or $10 million. You're going to buy a major building or a new station or sale of station, then, of course, that's what I have in mind. Yeah. But perhaps one way to do it is to define it in monetary terms.
Right. Well, perhaps for the sake of efficiency, decisions like that, with possibly certain exceptions, could be simply approved by, say, 3 of the 5 labs rather than directly by members, because it is more efficient and you can do it right away. You don't have to have an election process.
Okay. So anybody else who hasn't asked a question or had a comment?
Well, actually, I was going to comment. I could see amalgamating the to the center and right models in terms of implementing some kind of initiative and referenda model from the into the center.
In other words, you want to add something in here.
Yes, so that, okay, so that there would be another level of democracy,
okay,
that wouldn't be implemented always, but would be there as a as an option.
Feel safe type thing.
Yeah. Yes. Gives more flexibility.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet? Yes? Your name, please?
My name is Sarv. I think Kara raised a very valid point. Even though the fiduciary responsibility for the carrying out the mission of Pacifica rests with the board of directors, I think there should be a very strong organization at the lab also working towards that end. Because the board of directors, sometimes they are far out scattered and on a day-to-day basis, take a look at the labs or KPF station, they're all working towards that mission. And we have to honor that so that they won't drift away from that. So I don't know how we're going to do that here. But
anybody else? Yes, your name is
Dorothy. It's not clear whether the national board will, as it does now, send the money back and tell people what they can do with it. You know, I mean, the situation where KPFA hasn't been able to make its own plans. And I'm not entirely clear. Even the middle one seems as if the lab would be in charge and the national board would not be able to in any way interfere. That's what's so unpleasant about the one on the left, that we've had enough top-down, you know, and the picture I got from the Articles of Confederation was that, or at least the way it was first built on them, that the National Board was sort of a server to the five, or to the few who were present at first, that it had a job of financing, but not telling people how to. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That
so we started here, in a way, or here, we ended up here.
Yeah.
Well, not even. We started not quite even like first.
It drifted, yeah.
And the other thing that isn't clear, but I think I can guess, that you all have in mind that it will be one set of bylaws serving all levels.
Yes.
All five stations?
No, I mean all levels. The bylaws will be throughout, isn't that right?
Yes,
that's why we're working to get one set of bylaws.
Okay, one more. Yes.
My name is Conrad Oho, and I'm just suggesting that some of the other presenters will clarify some of these issues that have been brought up.
Okay. Let's move on to the next presenter, and some of this indeed will come up. Who would like to be next?
I would like to.
Okay.
Conrad would like to, too. You want to flip a coin?
You want to flip a coin?
I'll put a coin. Max, do you have any printouts of those?
Excuse me?
Do you have any smaller versions?
No, but we can get them reproduced.
They're going to be put on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't see this. I was distracted by this coin flip. We were just talking about how to. Excuse me, folks. We're just talking about how to get these wonderful. I mean, I'd like to give Max a hand and everybody. Thank you. That's incredible for all of you to put these up so we for the visuals. Now, Gary, you were saying that there'll be a way to put these up on the website. Would you like to share that with everybody?
How can we get all of these pictures?
I'm putting everything up, all the documents that we generate, just everything. And the pictures also will be
you
up there.
You can scan that or do something with something that big?
It just comes off this digitized, put up there, and I'm shrinking them down so you can download them quickly.
Okay.
And it's ringnebula.com /B.
We're going to have to write that up here so that everybody can get it.
And then in what format?
Yeah, and the minutes are up there.
Okay. Well, this housekeeping. Housekeeping detail is that the notes of the meeting go out to everybody on our email list, and they will have the link from Larry's site on our Gary's site. Going on you so well for so long. And then my friend here's website, so if you forget it, you'll get the minutes.
Okay, so you all got that? When you get the email minutes, there'll be the link to these wonderful graphics. Okay, who wanted to talk? Conrad?
I wanted to talk.
Okay, you're up. If you could take no more than 20 minutes to present because of obviously lots of questions.
I might.
Okay.
I would say that basically there's a lot of structural detail in there, and what I'd like to do is try to complement what's been presented with the concept of kind of a unicameral representative process, where you could consider it somewhat comparable to the House of Representatives or to a parliamentary system. And basically what you would have is the membership, the citizenry of the Pacifica network divided up into listener areas. So you'd have membership for KPFA area, you'd have membership for the New York area, for the Washington area, Los Angeles area, and Houston area. Each would be separate. And they would in turn, each local area would have a membership, and it would be defined, the membership would be defined by paying subscribers and people who qualify to be members by volunteering, and also by the staff of the station. And I would suggest that maybe the staff of the station should have more power in terms of voting power as being part of the membership. So they might be a multiple, they might get a multiple vote. Like each subscriber might get one vote, each volunteer might get one vote, and say the staff members might get a multiple of that. I'm not sure what it should be, but maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, something like that, as powerful a vote. And then this group of members for each local area would then, by preference voting as modified by the ethnic and gender and other criteria that have already been established for the KPFA local advisory board election, would elect a local governing board. And the governing board would have a lot of power. And that governing board then would in turn elect members for the Pacifica National Board. Now, the governing board would have a certain number of national board members that they could elect, depending on the size of the membership of each area. So there would be a direct proportionality, basically, where the size of the local membership of, say, the KPFA listening area, that would be fairly large, and say Houston might be small, and so there would be a direct proportionality. And the number that each governing board would elect would be a formula that would take in it would basically be the percentage of the membership of the local governing board divided by the total membership of the entire Pacifica network. So that would be a fraction, where you say the KPFA governing board would represent maybe, say, 20% of the total Pacifica network membership. And so that would give the KPFA governing board the power to elect 20% of the national board members. And so basically what I wanted to establish to complement what's been presented already is this concept of proportionality, so that the net result is that members from whatever listening area would essentially have the same power to elect the national board members. So they would not be discriminated against because they happen to be in a large signal area. There's a danger if you have equal power from each listener area electing, say if there were 15 board members and each listener area would elect 3, then you would have a discrimination against people who are members who are from a large listener area, whereas people who are in a small listener area would have greater power. So I wanted to even that out and make everyone from any listener area have the same amount of power. So that's the basic concept that I wanted to add to all this, to the mix.
Questions?
Any questions?
Nicole?
I was uncomfortable with, but I wanted to ask you about why staff people would get 4 or 5 times the vote of other people in terms of the power structure.
Well, the feeling behind that, and I don't know what that formula should be exactly, what kind of multiple it should be. The feeling behind it is that the staff, whether they be paid staff or volunteer programmers, they have perhaps a bigger commitment personally to the whole process of the network, the whole process of the station. And they should have a recognition in the power structure of that greater level of commitment and dedication to the Pacifica mission. That's the basic concept there.
Not you, Gary, but I'm sorry, I keep forgetting your name.
Sure.